Songtown, I'm Clay Mills. Welcome. I'm here with Marty Dotson.
Woohoo!
Today we've got 10 lyric mistakes that will peg you as an amateur songwriter. Now, I did a melody version of this a couple of months ago, and we got a lot of comments saying, hey, where's the lyric love?
So bringing it to you right now.
So, Marty, kick it off. Today's show is going to be all you since you're the lyric maestro.
Okay. Well, number one, and this is one I see all the time, is repeating yourself in the verses. So they have a great first verse, they have a great chorus, but then that second verse just kind of repeats the first verse material. Like, it doesn't use the same words, but it's just rewording the same idea. So it doesn't really take us anywhere. It's just another version of the first verse.
Yeah, and these days, what you don't want is someone to get to the second verse and go, I've already heard this idea. Like, next, like, you need to keep giving people fresh material as the song develops, right?
Yeah, you always want to keep the listener moving forward. And to do that, you got to keep giving them new material.
Now, we will have somebody in the comments go, what about that country song from 1967 that, you know, repeated the first verse and they just used the first verse as the second verse?
That's not going to work very often. That's all I can say. Not going to work very
good
often.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There's always, but my point is there's always exceptions. And we don't teach rules in Songtown. We're all about tools.
Right.
Teaching things that can help you in case you need it. But there's no such thing as hard and fast rules.
Yeah, we want to help you write your best song. And we want to help you have your best shot with your music, too.
Yeah. And just because someone else got away with it doesn't mean you should shoot for average songwriting.
Right.
You should always shoot for the best songs. You know, you want the bar to be up here, not down here.
I like that. Exactly.
Or just around the corner. I've actually got a bar on the corner.
There is a bar.
I moved into a new neighborhood in East Nashville. Yeah. And we've got several bars on several corners.
Here. Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Plenty of bars. Come on over. Number two is telling, not showing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can say there's a Diamond Rio song that I've mentioned before. I got in trouble for repeating it several times, but there's a line in there that says, he was wiping the oil off her dipstick. She was picking on a hair that got caught in her lipstick. So you could say, you know, he's at work doing his job and she's bored.
Right.
You could tell it to me like that. Or you can show it to me in a really creative way. So that song starts off by showing, and that draws you into that song.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah. It's a good technique.
Number three.
Number three is leaning too heavily on cliches. So cliches work because they're familiar to all of us. We all know what they mean. But if your song is just cliche after cliche after cliche, it's going to be boring.
Yeah,
because people are going to be like, well, I've heard all that all my life. And so what you want to do if you use cliches is use them sparingly and in specific places that where they're really powerful, and that's exactly what you need to say. But then make sure that you've got fresh lyric around them.
Yeah, I was critiquing a song for a Songtown member the other day, and the first verse was great. The first half of that chorus was great. And then they ended the chorus on four cliches in a row. And I was like, ugh. It's like you had me and then just totally let me down. And so they worked on the song, kept one of the cliches because it really worked the way that they had it in there, but they changed the other lines and made them more powerful. And so just be careful. I mean, we need cliches because they're just figures of speech.
Right.
And so to make your lyric conversational, it can be helpful, but it's how you surround them, you know, that makes them powerful or not powerful.
Absolutely. Number four is using lines no one would say. So like if you hear a song and there's a line in there and you go, who talks like that? It's probably not going to work. And sometimes I see that it's sort of Yoda speak, I call it. Like if I said, lovely you are. Then, you know, you as a listener.
Because we needed R for the rhyme.
Yes. And that's actually our next one. Don't jump ahead.
If we go, the moon glowing in your eyes remind me of the flowers from the emerald spring of yesterday's occasion.
Right. And then you go, what in the world are you talking about? Yeah. So, you know, you want to make sure while you want to say things in a fresh way, you don't want to say things in a way that's just unimaginable that someone would say that.
Right. You don't want to show off. I think a lot of times people are trying to prove how good of a writer they are.
Yeah.
Where if you look at some of the greatest songs in history, they just got to the point and said it and just cut you to the core with powerful lyrics and a powerful melody. And it wasn't about showing off at how great I can write, you know. Right. And I think that's, as new writers especially, I think I tried too hard, you know. And it was a good lesson to learn that you just need to not try to do so much and try to be real and cut to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of gets to our next one. Number five is sacrificing clarity for a rhyme. And I see this all the time. Someone will have a great line, and then the line that's supposed to rhyme with it is really weak. Hmm. And it's because they just couldn't think of anything natural to say that rhymed with that line. And so what I do in my writing is if I can't find another great line to follow it up with that's going to rhyme, I change it. I change that word I'm trying to rhyme with.
Right.
You know? And so don't ever sacrifice what you need to say just to get a rhyme.
Right.
All right, number six. Too many big ideas.
Mm. You can never have too many ideas.
You can. Smokey Robinson said one time that Berry Gordy told him that a song is about one thing, and there needs to be a big point to your song. You know, so in the Bonnie Raitt song, "I Can't Make You Love Me,"
yeah,
that's the point. You know, I can't make you love me if you don't.
Right.
That's the point of that song, and everything points toward that. And so if you find out that you've got, like, these competing big ideas, a lot of times you need to separate those into separate songs and just write a song about one thing and stick really tightly to that topic. And that can actually be a great exercise to, you know, challenge yourself. Like, here's my title. That's all this song is going to be about. So let me just really point everything at that.
I would even take that one step further. And unless you're writing a story song that goes through the life of somebody, you know, in time, most of the great songs are just about one moment in time.
Yeah.
It's, you're sitting here talking to someone and it's all about what's going on right now. It's not about, well, yesterday I did this and then 3 years ago was that. No, wait a minute, let's skip ahead to 5 years in the future and, you know, stick to one moment in time.
Absolutely. Number seven is no clear point to your song. Sometimes I'll hear a song and I'm like, I just don't understand what the singer wants from singing this song. Like,
right,
what would cause a singer to go, I want to sing that song, you know, because there's not that clear point that we can all go, okay, this song, I know what it's about.
Or when you hear it, you know what you're supposed to feel.
Right.
Like even songs like early Coldplay songs where, sometimes the lyrics were almost like abstract art. They still fit together a way sonically with the music that made me feel something. That's harder to do. If you're going to have abstract lyrics, you better have a good understanding of how the vowel sounds affect mood.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot that goes into writing abstract lyrics that still convey the meaning and the feeling you want.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the basic thing is they don't always have to be lyrics that are just everything spelled out. But at the end of the day, the audience has to know how to feel.
Right.
And if the audience hears the song and they're a little confused when that hook drops and it's, you know, not a strong reaction, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Absolutely. Number eight is forcing poetry or big words. And you kind of touched on this earlier, but sometimes we'll see a lyric and somebody is obviously trying to be impressive. So yeah, they've used lots of poetry and they've used metaphors and all these different things. And it's just complicated, you know, as opposed to being really clear. And so you want to make sure that if you're going to be poetic, you have good reason. One technique I use is if my title is poetic, then I let my lyric be more poetic. Mm-hmm. If my title is conversational, I let my lyric be conversational. So,
oh, interesting.
If I had a song title, "The Moon Is Still Over Her Shoulder," that's very poetic. It's romantic. I know that the moon's literally not still over this woman's shoulder right. many years later. And so you have some more freedom in a song like that to be poetic. But if my song title is I Can't Make You Love Me,
right,
I need to be pretty conversational in that song.
I never thought about it that way.
There you go.
Wow, that's pretty clever. Someone commented one time when we talked about using big words, and they were like, well, I write rap, and in rap we use big words. Let's be real. Rap does use a bigger vocabulary, but it's still not like you're talking about intellectual level. You're still in grade school.
Yeah.
Most lyrics are grade school level. And rap actually is a couple of years ahead of where most lyrics are. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, I think a lot of times in rap, being clever and working in unexpected words, that's all part of that genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more so than if you're in other genres.
Right.
So you have to kind of know what your audience is expecting.
Right.
You know, if you're speaking one language and they're expecting another language, then it's kind of hard to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. Number nine is that if your words don't fit the phrasing of the melody. And so if, you know, I'm working with a songwriter right now and she likes these words that are really hard to sing. And they don't fit the phrasing that we have for the melody.
Yeah.
And so we're continually having to go back, hey, this word doesn't sing. You know, you can't pronounce that word really well in the song. So, you know, making sure that your words fit the phrasing. And that's something if you're a lyric-only person, it helps sometimes to, like, do a rhythm and try to, like, even if you can't carry a tune, but to speak that line
in rhythm.
And then you go, oh, well, I'm kind of tripping over that word, you know, because it's not rhythmically sitting right where I'm feeling it, you know?
Yeah, and if you've got a fast run of notes, there's just some words you cannot physically sing, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking, if you're a lyricist, plug in your lyrics into AI to hear how it would be sung. But AI can do stuff that humans can't do either. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that would be helpful.
That is a technique I use sometimes. If I have something and I question it, I'll put my lyric and melody into AI, and when I get it back, if it's funky, like if it's singing it weird,
yeah,
then I know that I need to massage that line and make it sing better.
Interesting.
Number 10 is just using filler lines. You know, sometimes we're all guilty of this, but we just put in a line that doesn't really contribute.
You're writing a show about nothing.
Right.
The Seinfeld show.
Exactly. But, you know, so you want to make sure that every line matters in your song, that every line contributes to the big idea, points you to that big idea. And so one of the exercises I have people do in my lyric masterclass is go through and cross out everything you don't have to have in this song and, like, see how much you can trim it down and it still says the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting exercise because they'll come back sometimes with half the words that they had in the original song, you know. So just making sure that you're using words and lines that matter.
So last on our list, we're going to do a bonus.
You paid for 10, you get 11.
No, they didn't pay for this. It's free.
That's right.
Okay. But we just did a whole course in Songtown for our members about building your own signature style. And I think that's more important today than it was even a year ago, because there's just so much music out there now. You're competing with AI music, you're competing with other writers, other artists. And it's really important that you learn to get past trying to sound like these other things and really developing your own style and your own personality.
Yeah.
How would you go about starting that as a lyricist?
Well, one of the exercises we did in this class was we had people write down 5 sentences you'd really like to say to somebody,
yeah,
past, present, or future in your life. And I think having your own signature style starts with knowing what you want to say. So if you can find things like that, like, I'd really like to say this to my grandfather, but he's passed away.
Right.
Well, you're going to be more passionate about writing that song than if you're just making up something out of the blue. So, you know, keeping a journal where you write down these sentences of things I'd really like to say to someone, and then brainstorming, okay, what are some titles that could reflect that idea? And then making, you know, just making sure that you're writing things that you really care about.
Yeah. I just saw a great example of this. Charlie Puth, great piano player, singer, did the national anthem for the Super Bowl. He was talking about his producer was pushing him to come up with deeper lyrics. And he said he wanted him to write a song about his father. And he was like, this is really hard. His father's still living. And he to write a song. So he wrote a song as a gift to his father. And then he was talking about how it took him like a year to get over that hurdle, but how that song made his relationship with his dad so much better now. Mm-hmm. Not that it wasn't good to begin with, mm-hmm. but it just strengthened that relationship. So that's an example of it can be hard to dig deep sometimes and write something personal, mm-hmm. you know, especially when you're going to show it to the world potentially. But often that's where, you know, nobody else could have written that song, you know, then except for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So build your style.
Have a good one.
Right on.
See you soon.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.